The following is a lecture to visitors from New Delhi, given by His Grace Sriman Sankarshan Das Adhikari, recorded on September 14th, 2014, in Vrindavan, India.
So, this birth we have taken, the present time, it is not an ordinary birth. From the Vishnu Purana, we learn that there are so many species of life. Jadada lava lakshani, stavala lakshaving shuti, trimiya rudya sankhya kya pakshinam dasha lakshanam, chincha lakshani, pashavaha, chatur lakshani, manashaha. Jadada lava lakshani. There are 900,000 types of species. They're called Jalaja, born in the water. They are the aquatics. Stavara Laksha Vingshati. There are 2 million types. Stavara means they stay in one place. They are the plants, the trees, you see, Stavara. Jalada Navalakshani Stavadala Unkirvingshati. Krimiya Rudra Sankhya Kya. There are 1,100,000 types of worms and reptiles. Paksha Dashanam, let's see. Stavada Lakshmi. Krimiya Rudra Sankhya. Pakshinam Dashalakshanam. There are 1,000,000 types of birds. Tingsha Lakshani Pashavaha. 3 million types of beasts, and only 400,000 types of human beings. Though this human life is very, very rare thing. But the difficulty is, even though we've gotten this human birth, now we want to act like pashu, animals. This is a difficulty, you understand? The animal only has 4 businesses. He's interested in eating, sleeping, mating, and defending. But we human beings, that's our only interest. How many people are interested to get out of the cycle of birth and death? See, the human life is meant for liberation. It is meant for moksha, becoming liberated. But instead of running after liberation from the cycle of birth and death, we're running like animals after eating, sleeping, mating, and defending. So what does this mean? You see, the animals, they have no choice. It is their dharma. An animal by dharma is meant to be an animal. That is his natural dharma. But a human being is meant for achieving liberation from the cycle of birth and death. Therefore, if the human being acts like an animal, he is lower than animal. Because the animal is doing his duty. But the human being, he is neglecting his duty. Every other species, the reptiles, the aquatics, the plants, the birds, the beasts, every other species is perfectly executing its duty. The cow is acting like a cow. The monkey is acting like a monkey. You see? The birds are acting like birds. But the human beings, they're not acting like human beings. Who's polluting the earth right now? Who's making a mess out of the planet Earth? The animals polluting the earth? No, the human beings are spoiling the water, they're spoiling the air. The human beings are spoiling everything. Because human beings are not acting like human beings. This is why the Vedic wisdom of India is the most important knowledge anywhere in the universe. Because this Vedic knowledge tells you how to actually act like a human being. Especially Bhagavad Gita. It tells you how to act like a human being. But if we neglect these teachings, It is the greatest tragedy. The greatest tragedy. And if we follow these teachings, it is the greatest victory. What does Krishna say? In the final verse, actually Sanjaya is speaking. It is the teachings of Krishna. He says, Yatra Yogeshwara Krishna Tatta Pratta Danurdaraha Tatta Shirvajayo Bhutir Driva Nirtir Mutirmama. Wherever there is Krishna, the master of all mystics, and wherever there is Arjuna, the supreme archer, there will certainly be victory, extraordinary power, opulence, and morality. So why we don't follow Krishna's teachings? Doesn't make any sense. Any country that follows Krishna's teachings, they'll never be defeated by any other country. Krishna guarantees, if you follow these, we're so worried about building up our national defense. You see? The Chinese will not come, the Pakistanis will not come, we have to build up our defense systems. That's all right, but the only real protector is Krishna. If we neglect Krishna, it doesn't matter how many airplanes we may have, how many tanks, how many soldiers. If we neglect Krishna, we can be defeated very easily. It works as nationally and individually as well. One who has taken shelter of Krishna, he is protected in all situations. You will find this verse in the 9th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, text number 22. Wherever there is Krishna, the master of all mystics, I mean to say, I'm just quoting the other verse. For though Krishna says, for those who take exclusive shelter of me, who love me exclusively, whatever they have, I protect it, and whatever they lack, I provide it. So this is the wonderful aspect of Krishna consciousness. Krishna is the supreme controller, he's the supreme enjoyer, he's the supreme proprietor, he's the supreme master. So if you connect with Krishna, then you're properly situated in your eternal identity as the servant of Krishna, of God. And in this way, everything works out perfectly in your life. Everything becomes perfect. You see, a fish, if he's out of the water, can you make him happy? You take a fish out of the water, can you make him happy? Give him a nice couch. Give him a television set. Oh, my dear fish. Take him down to the latest Bollywood movie. Oh, my dear fish, come to the movie. You will be happy. You can see the latest star. You see? Some nice music. Come on, Mr. Fish. Why are you so unhappy? I want to be back in the water. Put me back in the water. Put me back in the water. Oh, Mr. Fish, come on. Let's go down to the movies. Let's go down to the restaurant. Let's go down here, there, everywhere. You see, you can never make the fish happy on the land. It's not possible. Why? Because he is a creature of the water. That's how you can make him happy. Just toss him back in the water. Jalavina yenamina, you see, we are just like fish out of water. Why? Because we have neglected God. That's why. We are by our very nature, this is a fish's nature, is to be in the water. Our very nature is to be absorbed in the service of God. Do you understand? That is our very nature. And if you neglect that nature, there's nothing you can do to be happy. I don't care if you're a millionaire. I don't care if you're a Birla. I don't care if you're a Modi, the prime minister. I don't care who you are. I don't care if you're Brahmaji, the chief demigod of the whole universe. Or I don't care who you are. If you neglect bhakti, if you neglect Krishna bhakti, you are nowhere. You're simply being tossed by the waves of the material energy from birth to birth to birth. And in each birth, what do you have to do? You have to undergo birth, which is very painful, death, which is very frightening, old age, which is very disturbing, and disease, which is, who wants to get sick? As long as you remain in this position of trying to be the enjoyer without being a servant of God, you have to suffer birth, death, old age, and disease again and again and again. So why punish yourself? Why torture yourself? Why not just come out of the shell and be who you really are, an eternally liberated being? Doesn't matter if you're a sannyasi or a grihastha, a brahmachari, whether you're a worker, a prime minister, a singer, a dancer, a businessman, a housewife, a student. It doesn't matter what your position is. If you will reconnect with the Lord by chanting His holy name, which is the prescribed method given in the Bhagavad Gita, do you know what Krishna says? He says, Satatam Kirtayanto Mam. You can look it up in the 9th chapter. Krishna says, always chanting my glories. Satatam Kirtayanto Mam. If you will simply, this is your Indian holy book. And India is the holy land. Why the people of India are not holy anymore? It's a disgrace. I'm from America, you see. I've come here to teach you about your religion. You should be embarrassed. An American has to come here and tell us about our religion. I'm going to stand up here. India is the holy land, the land of Krishna and all the great acharyas. So you all should be acharyas. You should follow in the footsteps of your great Indian heroes, Srila Vyasadeva, Narad Muni, Brahmaji, Shivaji. You should follow in the footsteps of these great personalities. This is your heritage as Indian people. You're descendants of the greatest people in the universe, the greatest realized souls in the universe. I see. So please, we're asking you, please take Bhagavad Gita as your life and soul. We have these books available today. We're not salesmen here. We simply have to collect enough to pay for the printing cost. That's all. We're asking everyone. I have 9 Gitas. Actually, I only have...
Oh,
there's more. Okay. We're asking every family today to take a Bhagavad Gita and give a donation, some dakshina, to cover the printing cost at the end of our program. Because this book is what you need to be happy. This book is what you need for your family to be happy. If you take this book, so expertly explained by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Tridandi Goswami Maharaj Prabhupada, if you take this book and make it the center of your home, Lord Narayan Himself will come and live in your home. Lakshmiji will come as your permanent resident. You will have no difficulties in your home if you make this book the center of your life. Everything auspicious, all the gods and goddesses will shower their mercy upon you if you make this book the center of your home. We guarantee this. So please take advantage of your own culture. Reconnect with your culture. Reconnect with the greatest teachers in the universe. And the greatest gurus. And make your life successful. That is my request. Are there any questions? Thank you very much. I'm very happy with questions. What will happen if we have faith in God but will not pray or do any worship? Now, if I have faith in God, that means I have faith in His teachings. If God gives me an instruction, He says, okay, I want you to chant my names. He says, well, my Lord, I have faith in you, and I have faith in your words, but I don't want to do what you say. You see? My point is this. If you actually have faith in God, you truly have faith in Him, then when He gives you an instruction, you put faith in that instruction also. And you follow that instruction. They say, I have faith in you, but I don't have faith in your instructions. God says, well, you need to chant my names because that will save you from this material existence. It will save you from the cycle of breath and death. It will bring you back to my eternal abode. So my instruction is you must chant my name. My Lord, I have faith in you, but I don't have faith in your instruction. You see, that's actually contradictory. If you really have faith in God, you have faith in His instructions also. Therefore, there's no such thing really as having faith in Him but not wanting to worship Him or to follow His instructions. You can't separate them. It's like apples and oranges. Faith in God means faith is in instructions also. And Krishna clearly states in chapter 9, text number 34, Manmanava Bhakto Majaji Mang Namaskuru Mamme Vaishashi Yukvayavang Atmanang Matpadayana. He says, engage your mind always in thinking of me. Worship me. Become my devotee. Always offer your obeisances unto me. In this way, you will surely come to me. Somebody could say, well, Krishna, I have faith in you, but I don't really have faith in your instruction. You see, it's contradictory. If you truly have faith, I may say I have faith in God, but if I don't have faith in His instructions, I don't really have, my faith is not very deep. You understand what I'm saying? It's superficial. In America, we call it lip service. Yes, my Lord, I'm dedicated to you. I'm very dedicated to you. He says, well, I'd like you to do this. Oh, no, I can't do that. You see? I serve you with my lips. Oh, yes, I'm very devoted to God. I'm always thinking of God. I'm always praying to God. I'm very, very devoted to God. But then when it actually comes down to doing what He wants, no, I have no interest. I don't have time. I have to think about making money. Is it necessary to have belief in God? Well, it's an option. You can believe in God or not. Is it necessary to believe in the sun? The sun will shine on you whether you believe in it or not. I don't think there's a sun. But Suryadeva is so kind, even if I don't believe there's a sun, He still shines on me, you see. So God is very kind. You may believe in God, you may not believe in God, but He'll still feed you. He'll still give you air to breathe. He'll still give you water to drink. And just imagine if you had a son or a daughter and you took all good care of them. And somebody come and they said, do you believe in your parents? You say, I don't have any parents. What about your mommy and daddy? Don't you love them? I don't have a mommy and daddy. I don't know who these people are, but they're not my parents. You see, I don't have a mommy or daddy. What would you think about the child? It's called an ingrate, in an English word, in someone who is not grateful, you see. So the parents give all the love to the children. The children say, these are not my parents. Who are these strangers here? What are they doing occupying my house? This is my house. Who are these old people here? Get them out of the house, you see. That would be very... We would be shocked at the behavior. They would put it in the newspaper. Some child said to their parents, these are not my parents, they should be kicked out of the house. It would be such a scandal to be in the newspaper. So actually, to not believe in God is a scandalous thing. It's a scandal. That person who's given you your very existence is a spiritual being, who gave you parents, who gave you your material body, who gave you all the food you eat. Did the government in India manufacture the food? Did the local merchant, did the farmer manufacture the food? No, all the food is given by God. All the air you breathe, everything is a gift of God. You say you don't believe in God? You're an idiot. You're a rascal. You see. But God is so kind that even though we're idiots and are rascals in the modern day civilization, He's still taking care of us. That is His kindness. What is the significance of Mangal Arti in the morning? Is this one of our members? One of my students has written. Yeah. My students should not write. I want the newcomers to write questions. This is like, I don't even know if they know what these things are. Okay. Is it correct, to fight or argue with somebody when we come to know they are not in our favor, they're doing something wrong? Sometimes it's not very intelligent, depending on the circumstance. We have to act in such a way that we can be effective. Just like it's sometimes said, "Dear God, give me the ability to tolerate those injustices which I cannot correct, the courage to rectify those injustices I can correct, and the intelligence to know the difference." So sometimes discretion is the better part of valor. Sometimes we can't really do anything about a such situation and we have to just tolerate it. It's like I may be walking by a McDonald's hamburger stand. You see? And I know that's the most sinful thing, to kill a cow and to take the flesh. The cow is my mother because she gave me her breast milk. And when she gets old, I kill her and I chop her up and I put her in a McDonald's hamburger stand to eat her. Now, I know that's the most sinful thing, but can I just walk into McDonald's with a gun and say, "Okay, I'm closing down this restaurant"? That would be stupid. I would be arrested, be put in prison, you see. So sometimes some things you cannot fight. Some injustices and wrongs you're not able to fight. You have to do whatever you can to educate the people that it's not right to kill our mother, the cow. And hopefully the people will grant and convince enough people that nobody will even go there to buy hamburgers anymore. I don't know if they serve hamburgers in India. They may serve chicken burgers here. I'm not sure. But in other parts of the world, they may use chicken here in the hamburgers. I'm not sure in India. But I know in other parts of the world, they take the cow and they put him in there. So sometimes some things you have to tolerate. And, you know, because it's just not possible to correct it. But if it's something you can correct, you should correct it. Yeah. Come here closer so I can hear you.
India is also being slaughterhouses.
Indians? Do what?
Slaughterhouses.
Oh, that's right, you have slaughterhouses here. For a minute I forgot. You actually kill cows in this country. To me, it's unthinkable that in the land of India they could be killing cows, but it's going on. It's a bit. I read in the media a huge number of cows are being killed here every day. It's unthinkable to me that in the holy land of India you could be killing the cow, but it's happening. Okay. Any other questions? Is a question? No, just a blank paper. Someone asked about Mangal Arti in the morning and Tulsi Arti and Tulsi Mala. Okay, so Mangal Arti, in our temples all over the world. Oh, here's more. Okay. I'll say this until later. How one can remain connected with God all the time while we are working in the corporate sector and don't have time? Well, it's very simple. You simply have to work for God. That's it. One of our great saints, his name was Bhaktivinoda Thakur, one of the greatest saints in Indian history. Perhaps you have heard of Bhaktivinoda Thakur. But he was at that time working for the British government. He was in the highest position an Indian citizen could hold during British rule. He was magistrate. So he was working, he had to go to work every day, just like you all have to go to work every day. But he said, "I am not earning money to support my household. I am earning money to support Krishna's household. So if you will take your home as Krishna's home, you see, an ashram, a place for physical cultivation, you'll make a nice altar for Krishna in your home. You offer all your food there. You teach all the family members to bow down to Krishna every day. You have some kirtan every day. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. No meat, fish, or eggs in your home. Please get rid of them. If you make your home into an ashram, now when you go to work to pay your mortgage or to pay your rent and to feed your family members and to pay your utilities, you're working for Krishna because your home is now a Krishna ashram. So in this way, your very work becomes transformed into yoga or bhakti. So why not do that? You're going to work anyway, aren't you? So why not dedicate your home to Krishna? And now you're not a karmi, a fruitive worker. Now you're a devotee. You're working for Krishna just by reporting your job every day. It's a very simple formula. Turn your job into bhakti by turning your home into an ashram. How can we handle our problems and solve them? It's very simple. If you will try to do everything for the pleasure of Krishna, then your problems will be solved. So how do you do that? Well, you need a guru. Krishna says, Tadvidi pranipatena pariprasnena sevaya upadekshanti te jnanam jnaninas tadvadarshinaha. You can look this up. It's Bhagavad Gita chapter 4, text number 34. He says, just try to learn the truth by approaching a spiritual master. Inquire from him submissively and render service unto him. The self-realized souls can impart knowledge unto you because they have seen the truth. So Krishna orders you to have a spiritual master. The spiritual master then trains you specifically, personally, how you and your present job, your present position, your present mentality, your present location. There's so many variables for each one of our lives. The spiritual master will give you a custom fitted instruction just specifically meant for you to help you in your present situation, whether you're single, married, kids, no kids, old, young, whatever your situation is. Spiritual master will specifically instruct you, just like a doctor gives you a specific prescription just for you. It's not that that prescription is for everybody. That prescription is only for you. So the spiritual master will give you a prescription specifically for you, how you can be fixed in Krishna consciousness. So you have to have a spiritual master. You have to follow your spiritual master. And then by doing that, lo and behold, all your problems are solved immediately. As soon as you surrender to a bona fide spiritual master, no problems in your life anymore. You become completely free from all anxieties and problems. And I know. I know from my own experience. I was always in anxiety, and I was always in anxiety. But when I surrendered to my spiritual master, his divine grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Tri Dandi Goswami Maharaj Prabhupada, all of my problems, they just flew away. Just like you go to some birds are sitting somewhere, you know. You just, you clap your hands and the birds fly away. All my anxieties just flew away. Finished. I've been in bliss for the last 43 years. Bliss and heavy, as we say, they used to say in the 60s. Yeah, I'm bliss and heavy today. Yeah, it's when you actually surrender to a bona fide spiritual master, you enter into another world. The whole world changes. It's no longer the same world you were living. Before, you were living in the world of anxieties. Now, after you surrender to the bona fide spiritual master, you're living in the world of transcendental bliss. Blessed with bliss. What is the simplest method to solve the problems? Take shelter of the bona fide spiritual master. How should we lead our life? Under the direction of the spiritual master. Take his orders, your life and soul. If he tells me to chant Hare Krishna, well, I will chant Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, 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 Hare. If he tells me I should only take Krishna Prasad, I shouldn't eat anything unless it's been first offered to Krishna, then I do that. If he tells me no meat, no fish, no eggs, I do that. If he tells me no more liquor, no, I'll do that. You see, no more cigarettes. I follow my guru, and then I become free of all anxiety. How to think of God at work? Put a picture, if you have a desk, put a picture of Krishna there on your desk. You see? It's a very simple thing. In the corporate world, I don't know, they have cubicles here? Cubicles? Yeah. In the corporate world, cubicles. You decorate your cubicle with a picture of Krishna. As soon as you walk into your cubicle, you're in the spiritual world, you see. Anybody who comes into your cubicle, they become purified. Oh, it's amazing. All these beautiful pictures of Krishna. And who's that? Oh, that's my spiritual master, you see. And have some Bhagavad Gita's there. Oh, have a Bhagavad Gita handy. So they want to take one home and read, you see. And this way. Now back to this one I've been trying to avoid. What is the significance of Mangal Arati? I don't know if people know what Mangal Arati is. That's why, you know, it's kind of an advanced level question. Now, you see, formerly in India, everybody would be up by 4 o'clock in the morning. Now we've lost Indian culture. Now the sun gets up before we do in many families, you see. In the moment the sun comes up, then I drag out of bed, and the first thing is chai, chai, chai. You see, that's the thing. But you know, chai is not Indian. You know, it's British. You had no Indians didn't drink tea. You know this? The Britishers drink tea. The Britishers were exploiting your country like anything, taking the wealth out of India and shipping it off to London. And they thought, well, how can we get even more money out of these Indians? How we can squeeze even more money out of these Indians? Why don't we get them hooked on tea? The tea was being grown here and shipped to the UK. But why don't we get them to drink the tea also, and we can charge them money for this tea? So in the villages and the towns, they set up free tea stalls for all. So all the Indians, they'd say, try this tea. The Indians said, what is this tea? No, thank you. No, come on, try it, try it. All right, they try it. Now try it again. You can come every day and get free tea. So every day they came, and finally what happened? They got addicted to caffeine. And they said, okay, now you have to pay for it. So in this way, the Britishers tricked you how to get even more money out of India to ship off to the UK. You see? So we don't need tea to wake up in the morning. We have something better than tea. It's called Mangal Arati. You rise early in the morning before the sunrise, take your bath, and then you take your picture of Krishna on your altar. You take some incense and a flower and a ghee lamp. And if you have a chamara whisk, you see. And our devotees will teach you a beautiful prayer that you can sing to the spiritual master. Samsaradava nalalidholoka. But until then, till you know that prayer, you can just chant Hare Krishna Kirtan. And then later on, we'll teach you. You can ask our devotees, and they will teach you how to sing their Gavastakam prayers. In in this way, you rise early, you worship Krishna and Guru, and you know what happens to your day? Magic. It's mystical. Your day becomes a mystical experience. Delhi doesn't look the same anymore. There's something mystical about the whole place. You see it no longer as in the capital of India, but you see Delhi as the energy of Krishna, to be engaged in the service of Krishna. And everybody, instead of seeing men and women, you see spirit souls encased in material bodies. Your whole vision becomes transformed into a mystical vision. And that's the benefit of getting up every day and having Mangal Arati. Every day becomes an amazing mystical experience. And then, after Mangal Arati, you have the Tulsi tree, you can offer an arati to Tulsi. Tulsi is not, of course, Tulsi is still very popular with Hindus. But I also worship Tulsi. But I'm not a Hindu, I'm a Christian. Do I look like a Hindu? I'm born in a Christian family, you see. But I worship Tulsi Devi because she is a pure devotee of the Lord, a pure devotee of Lord Krishna. They see the God of Christianity and the God of Bhagavad Gita are the same. What's the proof? Jesus says, "Our Father who art in heaven." He has a Father, He's the Son. And what does Krishna say? Krishna says, "I'm the Father." So Jesus is God the Son and Krishna is God the Father. So there's no contradiction between Hinduism and Christianity. They're actually the same thing. In fact, Jesus even came to India between the ages of 12 and 30. He came to India, and it's described in the Aquarian Gospel. He went to Puri and had darshan of Lord Jagannath. Our spiritual master, Srila Prabhupada, he said, because Jesus loves Jagannath and Jagannath loves Jesus, now Ratha Yatra has gone to the Western countries. The Ratha Yatra festival is now very popular in the Western countries because of the love between Jesus and Jagannath. He said. So anyway, even though I was born as a Christian, I understood the universal nature of Krishna Bhakti. That this is how I become a perfect Christian, you see. And so then when I joined this Hare Krishna movement, we didn't have Tulsi worship. But shortly after I joined, our spiritual master, Srila Prabhupada, he introduced something new called Tulsi worship. And it was wonderful. Normally the pure devotees are something you only read about in the scriptures. Of course we had Prabhupada, and we would see him maybe once a year when he traveled through our city. But now we found out that Tulsi Devi, a plant that we can keep right there in our own greenhouse in our temple, she's a pure devotee of Krishna. I can actually see a pure devotee. I can touch a pure devotee every day. I can serve the pure devotee by giving her some water, singing some bhajan, some prayers to her, doing parikrama of her. So it became wonderful. So this Tulsi worship, you can also keep a Tulsi. And well, you have a... After you offer the arati to Krishna and Guru, then you can offer an arati to the Tulsi. We have a beautiful prayer we sing every day. Our devotees can teach it to you when you're ready. Tulasi Krishna Prayasi Namo Namaha Radha Krishna Seva Pavo Heya Bilasi Yittamara sharana loe jaravan chapuna hoy kripa kodi kodo tare vrindavana vasi. You see, Tulsi Devi is a Vrindavan vasi. She's an inhabitant of this holy land of Vrindavan. And when you bring Tulsi Devi into your home becomes transformed into the holy Vrindavan forest. And when you worship her, then you are guaranteed in your next life you will take birth in the original Goloka Vrindavan. So it's very, very nice to worship the Tulsi. Tulsi Mala, we have Kanti Mala on the neck. This is made from tulsi. You can buy them here. They're all over Vrindavan here. They're selling the Kanti Mala. If you want to take up Krishna Bhakti, get one string. And then once you get initiated, you can wear three times around the neck. And then we have the Tulsi Mala also for the chanting, the Japa Mala. This is the system coming down from the great Acharyas. You see, Lord Shiva was chanting the Japa. It's a tradition from the great Vaishnavas that you get some Japa Mala and you chant on the beads. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. If you get these Japa Mala and you start chanting, you will have a wonderful experience, and your experience will be that this Hare Krishna chanting is enchanting. That's why it's called chanting, because it is enchanting. And the more you chant it, the more you become enchanted with the name of Krishna. And because Krishna and his name are one and the same, the more you become enchanted with Krishna, the more you become an intimate associate of Krishna, the more you become protected by Krishna, the more you become blessed by Krishna, the more you become guided by Krishna, the more you can feel how Krishna is with you at every minute, at home when you wake up, at home when you go to sleep, at home in your dreams, when you're in the commute, that horrible commute, he's there with you, when you're at the office, he's there with you. He's in every situation. When you go shopping, when you go to the doctor, when you go to the dentist, when you go traveling on the airplane or the train or the bus or the motorcycle or the bicycle or by foot, you will experience how Krishna goes with you at every minute. In this Nama meditation, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare, it brings all of this theoretical understanding into practical reality. It's not that you only know that Krishna is present. You will feel how Krishna is present. And that feeling will gradually be transformed. You'll actually be able to see Krishna. You'll be able to talk with Krishna. Be able to touch Krishna. Even eat with Krishna and dance with Krishna eventually. Simply by this Japa Mala, it will take you all the way there. Gradually, 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 you revive your eternal spiritual identity in your pure spiritual body and realize that you have an eternal relationship with Krishna and his Achintya Leela, his inconceivable pastimes, which are going on at every minute here in Vrindavan, for those who have the eyes to see them, and going on in the spiritual world. So I've run out of questions, and I've been speaking almost for an hour now, so we didn't have a kirtan yet. Would you all like to do a little chanting? Who would like to get enchanted by the names of God? Anyone like to get enchanted? All right, so let's get enchanted with some chanting. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna,
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Shri Harinama ki jai, Shri Bhavabhara ki jai. Thank you all very, very much for coming here to Vrindavan. We hope that you will feel Krishna present with you at every minute and where he is actually present in this holy place. We are living now, and we are sitting now in a corner of Vraj known as Raman Reti, Pleasure Sands, because it is in this exact vicinity, exactly where you're sitting at this minute, Krishna and his cowherd boyfriends were having their leelas, their transcendental sporting activities. So you're in a place where Krishna is actually present. His pastimes are going on right here, right now, for those who have the eyes to see them. By diving deep, deep, deep into the chanting of Hare Krishna, you will gradually develop the eyes where you can see how Krishna's pastimes are going on here at this very minute. Huh? Now the books are available, and anybody who would like to get a book today, I will give you a written, personal written blessing in your name in the book. So we'll stop here, and now anybody who wants a book can come forward. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.